Podcast for this Wednesday evening Bible study here at the House of Manna. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about I just don't know. I just don't know. Law of sowing and reaping. Out of Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. So in other words, as long as you're doing bad, you'll be all right. No? How come it just seems like every time that we're doing something right for God, it seems we might have a tendency to become weary? All right, now, because I know we're all saved as soon as we came out of our mama's womb. I know that. I know we're all saved. We're all the saints. They're going to erect a monument in your name. I know it. But, see, when I wasn't walking with the Lord, I didn't know the difference between being good or being bad in the sense of the Bible standards. I just knew as long as I survived that day, it was a good day. But it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, say time. Now say it like you really know what I'm talking about. Time. But say it like it's been there for a duration. Time. Because you know how time kind of has a tendency to kind of drag on. Time. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. Proper time. Say it again, Nana. I just don't know. I just don't know when that time is. I just don't know when that time is for my harvest. But he doesn't tell us we're supposed to know when. If God was to come and tell me, Marty, I'm gonna make sure that your church becomes a mega church. Can we bypass everything else and just get me to the mega? Wouldn't it be nice? Oh, watch this one. Mama, I'm going to make sure that you become a millionaire. Hallelujah. But I just didn't tell you when you were going to become one. We don't know how long you got to wait for that word to become manifest. Right? Oh, you're going to be prosperous. But the Bible says so. Turn with me to Mark 4:26, please. Go to the next slide. Mark 4:26. Through 29 of the American Standard Version. It'll be up on the screen, this one, but then we'll go into some more. So I put on here, so is the kingdom of God. So is the kingdom of God. Mark 4:26, and when you're there, say amen. When you're there, say amen. When you're there, say, I got it. We'll get a little bit more people there. When you're there, say, go on, Pastor. I'm going on then. Here we go. Mark 4, verse 26. I'm going to have fun tonight. Watch this. Out of the American Standard Version, it reads like this. It says, in verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed upon the earth. If a man. Next slide. Okay, next slide. There we go. Okay. And he says, so as the kingdom of God is, if a man shall cast seed upon the earth, 27, and should sleep, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. I just don't know. Verse 28, the earth beareth fruit of herself. First the blade, the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Verse 29, but when the fruit is ripe, straightway he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. Put forth the sickle. I don't know about you, but many times when I put seed in the ground, I already want my harvest. You know, when you put your tithe down, you say, I put my tithe. Can I get my harvest on it? You know how we can make a deposit in our checking account. We can make a withdrawal right away. But I'm talking about the harvest that if as soon as I put it in my account, I want my harvest there. I want my harvest to be there already. How many of you want that? Well, when I started reading this and kind of going back to what the Lord had shown me about, you know, all the soil kind of running off because of so much water, I said, Lord, don't let my flowers die, Lord. Me and you are going to have a one-on-one. I just planted these flowers. I got real prophetic when I planted them, too. They were 88 cents each. New beginning, new beginning. I was going to get my double portion of new beginning. So I planned for 88 cents each. I was going to watch them and watch them grow good. I was going to put Miracle Grow and they were going to grow real big, real pretty. I even tilled the soil a little bit. I put on some fresh, like fertilizer, some food for the flowers. Packed it down nice and tight. It's going to be good season this year. And all this rain came. I looked over at my flowers. My flowers were saying, quit it. Too much is too much. Flowers that were once blooming and smiling and looking at me saying, hi, Barty, when I was leaving the house. Because they speak to you. They speak to you. How many of you speak to your flowers? You better start learning how to speak to your flowers. I don't got a green thumb. I don't have to water my wax plants. They do good all the time. So, but it looks like right here in verse 29, it's like straightway he put it forth the sickle because the harvest has come. You know what a sickle is, right? It's that thing where they had a handle here and they held it back here and they had a blade. And they would cut the stalks. And they would cut it off because the harvest has come. Go to the next slide, please. The kingdom of God comes in stages. It takes time. Does it take time? Oh, it takes a long time. The stages are, one, it scattereth. He is sowing seed. He scatters seed. Then it sprouts and it produces. It's the harvest time. But then it renders more seeds. It renders more seeds. Next slide, please. The scattering, the growth, and the reproduction. If you're taking notes, the scattering, the growth, and the reproduction. Your harvest is predestined to grow in stages. Do you know it's predestined to grow in stages? It doesn't happen right away. It can't happen right away. Although I would really like for things to happen very quickly in my life, just doesn't happen. I can pray and fast. I can dance, shout, and scream. I can kick, throw a tantrum. I can have a conference call with God. You know, I have that red line. I pick it up. He answers. He just doesn't answer me with what I'm asking him. But he answers the phone to listen. Maybe you've been there when you just call out to God and you know he's listening, but he just ain't speaking. Sometimes I feel like we're in the dark ages. It's something when he speaks for others, but you feel like he's not speaking to you. Isn't that hard? No. I get prophetic words for everybody else. But what about me? Is that right? You go ahead and 15 minutes you give a prophetic word. Or you can't even encourage yourself. Right? Come on, think about it. Be real about yourself. You can quote scriptures to a situation in somebody else's life. But when it comes here, you're looking for a scripture that is just like, I know that one. Oh, know that one. Oh, know that one. Just isn't working. Say it with me. I just don't know. I just don't know. Your harvest comes in stages. You first have to scatter your seed. Now, I'm not talking about putting money in the ground, money in the church. I'm not talking about that. Your seed is your faith. Where are you putting your faith at? Now, the Christian response would be, I put it in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus. The circumstance you're in is where your seed should go. Put your faith that your faith is going to change that circumstance, even if it don't look like it. You can't get a harvest if you don't scatter the seeds. Like, you can't expect to get in a relationship if you don't make yourself available. You can't expect to have a great marriage if you don't first sow love into the marriage. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, but you know, I'm single. Well, you can't expect to have your Boaz or your wonderful bride show up on the scene if you're so bitter, angry, and mad because you're alone. I don't know about you, but if I was bitter, mad, and upset all the time, and my Boaz, well, you know, for women, Boaz show up. Your man shows up on the scene. He look at you like, oh, Lord, she didn't even do her hair today. Woo! You always wear sneakers in those, what do they call those stretchy pants, those yoga pants. That's all you wear. Don't you ever put on heels and put on a dress. You don't ever put on some makeup. You don't ever do your eyebrows, you know. They're never, what do they call, fleek? Never on fleek. I don't know. I hear Hannah say, ooh, her eyebrows are on fleek. She got a flea on there? Some of the terminology nowadays, I just don't know. But look, but think about it. If we're expecting to get our one, our soulmate, we got to be ready. Like a singles kind of message in here today. You single folks in here, you're going to get you somebody here. You see? There's someone here. All you got to do, though, is put on a little underarm deodorant, you know. You got to go on and put on some makeup from time to time. Do your hair sometime. Do your nails. And don't forget about doing your feet. Your feet. Because the last thing you want to do is be putting on those sandals and you got those crusties all over the place. You want to make sure they look nice and good. You want to make sure that you you want to make sure you got some lotion on. Get some of that, what do they call that? Concha, or what is that? What is that? What is it? Cochinaca. Wait a minute. Hold on. That sounds like a nasty word. Hold on. I better double check now. So, you might want to put some coconut oil on there or something. Cocoa butter. Put some cocoa butter on there. You know what? But the thing is, you've got to sow your seed. And see, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what you are looking for, what you want to get. Sometimes you don't see it because you ain't sown in that area. Woo! You want a harvest? Oh, Lord, let me get back to these single folks in here. You want to get yourself a harvest of a lover, but that don't mean you're going to go and get your harvest of sleeping with them without getting married first. You better make it right. Don't you dare let someone come in and say, oh, suck it now. Well, you know, I'll take care of you, but you're going to take care of me first. Oh, there's the door. There's the door. Just get on out because you know what? You don't respect me. You don't respect me. And if you don't respect me now, you are never going to respect me. If they want to talk down at you, talk bad about you, criticize you, and you just now started, it just now ended. Just now ended. See, so I'm just trying to help. La Concha, or whatever. Just trying to tell you, you want to get those heels nice and soft. That's right. You'll have those cracks coming all the way down. That's right. I'm just telling you, you've got to sow in the area that you're looking for your harvest in. Are you following me? Shoot. Let's talk to some of these married folks in here, because I know they're, where the married folks? Raise your hand, married folks. Ken Falk in the house. Look at here. See, you can't expect to have a great marriage if you don't spend the time dating your spouse. Oh, yeah. They're like, what do you mean date? You know Walmart's open 24 hours. Come on, because if you got kids, you got to take care of everything all day long. And then when it comes by 10 o'clock, come on, baby, we're going to Walmart. We go to Walmart. What are we going to do? Anything but being in the house. As long as I'm with you, I'll meet you on aisle 7. You got to sow whatever you can into that relationship so that you can get your harvest. Oh, man. I mean, just try to help some of the single folk in here when they get to that place. Because, you know, most of the time, passion run out right away. Passion. Not pastor. Pastor don't run out. Shoot, pastor don't run out. Pastor run right on in. Hey, baby, what's up? Shoot, look at you. Bring on there those yoga pants. I don't care. We married now. Shoot, we'll put on different kind of shoes. I don't care. Let's just go. You didn't brush your teeth anymore? Let's just go have some coffee. We all right. Wait. All is well. When the Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. He didn't say that she was all made up and pretty. He said when you find a wife, you find a good thing. You better know when it's good, it's good. But you have a responsibility to take care of what's good. You have got to make sure that they know that you love yourself. See, y'all, wait a minute. What you mean love yourself? See, you can't love somebody else if you don't love yourself. Let me stay on this for a little bit. I told you I was trying to teach, but you know, we get folks in the Christendom. They come into church, and it seems to me they get to church and they want to do the hello. They want to wave the white flag. I can't get no help in my marriage. I can't get no help. First of all, it starts with you. You better know that you got something to offer, or somebody else going to go let them know they offer something too. Don't make me go to that place. I will get there eventually. But what I'm trying to tell you is many times, look, let's just, when you first get to dating, you may have been at about a 28 waist, but that was because you were, you know, single and you were a bachelor and you didn't have the means to cook, the means to eat. You didn't have food in the house. You had to go to mama's house. But mama caught on real quick. You ain't using me, son, like that. You don't bring your laundry over here and expect me to do it. You do it yourself. Shoot, wait a minute. Hold on now. Wait. So every time I come over here and I got to bring my laundry and then I got to do it? No. I figure I'm just going to go out and I ain't going to eat today. So that's how you keep a 28 waist. That's all right. It's all right. That's back in the day. So then when you find your lover, you find your honey, you find your soulmate. Seed time and harvest, baby. Seed. Yeah, you don't just say all the sweet things that they want to hear. You got to do the things that you said you were going to do. Then you start getting that harvest where you start getting rice and gandules. Y'all don't know about this stuff, but that's called Puerto Rican rice. That 28 waist went to a 34 real quick. And if you get a little bit more time, you start to learn how to cook too. Mama, I done learned how to make rice and beans. Look at here. You put it in a crock pot, you give it some time. But you can't rush the beans. How many of you have cooked beans before? Y'all look like, Pastor, where you going with this? The bean. Going to Bill Miller's. I go where they're already cooked. You'll pay the price for convenience. I ain't got no money to go to Bill Miller's. We're still sowing seed the other way. Baby, I'm going to go ahead and wash your car for you, all right? We ain't going out tonight. We ain't got no money, but I'm going to wash your car today. It's going to look good, even though it's sitting there, and you know, right there in the driveway. It's going to look good. I even put Armor All on there. I thought when he had Armor All, I just used baby oil, baby. Hey, you make it work. Back in the day, remember those white walls we used to have back in the day? You'd have to real scrub with steel wool. And you didn't have no steel wall. You just use white shoe polish. That's it. Just don't go over the water. Because you have all those lines going down. But, you know, you've got to sow into the relationship instead of saying, that's it, I quit because I done gained too much weight and my 28s don't fit no more. Well, you don't even have the hair that you used to have anymore. What I'm trying to tell you is, right? And you didn't have all that salt and pepper, and I ain't talking about the seasoning either. I'm just saying that, you know, some things change. They change, right? Passion does not. Passion does not change. Only if you don't see yourself in that light. You have got to love yourself in that manner. You've got to see that everything that you're doing in your life benefits you and those around you. Ooh, that was good preaching right there, Pastor. I forgot what I said, but it's all right. Get on the podcast. I love it. I love it. God is good. He is good, and he's good all the time. We have to always understand that God is working in the mode of sowing so that you can get a harvest. Take your mind off the money. Just stop that. I'm not even talking about that. Talking about if you put time into the things of the kingdom of God, that's your seed. You put your faith into it to help produce it to come to pass. When it comes to pass, has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with God. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, and should sleep and rise night and day. He shall sleep and rise night and day. Verse 27. And the seed shall spring up and grow, and he does not even know it. How many times have you been through some things and you don't even know how you're going to get out? You don't even know if this is even going to change, if things are ever going to turn around, or things are always going to be the same. But maybe you just don't know what's going to happen in your life because you haven't been sowing into it. I don't even know how my child is going to make it in college. Sow your faith into their education. You sow the words that encourages them. They can do more than they can imagine. They can do greater than they've ever done before in their life. You sow in that direction. If your problem is, I don't even know when I'm going to get healed of this issue, you sow with faith in the word into your life. You sow. I don't even know how I made it this far. Because the truth be told, if we were to look back over your life, you would look back at a certain time in your life. I don't know how I survived that. Woo! I don't know how I survived that divorce. Don't even know how I survived the car crash. I just don't know. Sure. Sure, we can say, oh, but God. But you've got to sow. You have got to sow. Or this is the one I use a lot to myself. I say it to my wife all the time. I don't even know how I wound up with her. See? You like that one, right? That was good. Like, remember that. Josh, remember that one? I like that. I like that. I'm going to get some rice, some beans. Woo-woo! Be at the 944 next time. Lord Jesus. Don't even know how I wound up with a woman like that. Don't even know. Couldn't even tell you. You should think he was my truck. Remember my truck, Mama? And it wasn't a big one either. It was one of those little ones. It wasn't an extra cab in there. It was a little one. So when you got in here.
It wasn't your truck.
Hey, but it was mine. He's going to pick, hey, baby, you want to go out to have something to eat? Yeah, where we going? We go to Applebee's. Meet you at Applebee's. What you mean, meet? I don't think you're going to fit in my truck with me. It was my truck. Nice and clean. Get this. I used to wear a cowboy hat with it, too. I used to wear a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. I don't know how I fit in that truck, but I did. Told you it was a 28. I said, I don't know how I wound up with you. I just don't know. I just don't know how God brought me this far to be with you. Seed, time, and harvest. Woo! You got to put some time into that. It don't just happen right away. And I'll tell you why it don't happen right away. Because she didn't like me. The 28 cowboy hat and boots and stranglers. You know, the stranglers you couldn't breathe. She says, I don't like you. I don't like your ways. Okay, hold up now. What you mean? You a player. You a dog. You're not.
No, I'm not.
My mom like, no. I don't know what it is about that girl. I can't lie to her. She catches me in a lie. She asks so many questions. Bubble. Hold on. Hey, you know. Seed, time, and harvest, baby. Hold on. I was playing all kind of seeds. Like, come on, baby, we can go there. We can go out tonight. Please, can we go out tonight? I used to ask Popo. And she just don't like me. But there's something about her. And Popo told me. He goes, yeah, it reminds me of your mama. We used to work together at the restaurant. And sit there with Popo. I said, Popo, what? And I just want this woman, but she don't even want me. Because I know. That's how your mama was. But I kept on. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me, I got my honey. That's what Popo told me. Oh, Popo, I'm trying to help you out, Popo. So I knew that it was possible. She kept me honest. This is going to help you. Ooh, this is going to help you. This is going to help you. Sometimes you need to have people around that tell you truth. Truth. Even when it hurts. You want people like that in your life. You don't want the ones that always come around and tell you everything you want to hear. Mm-hmm. I think you guys sat in a good location. That's good. That's good. That's good. It's raining his glory right there. You see, but when you sow seeds into a relationship, you're cultivating that relationship. But your harvest comes later in the hardships. Come on, you're going to miss that. Because relationships are always tested. Always tested. Jesus tested all his disciples. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's what cross? What you talking about? What do you mean I got to leave my job? I ain't gonna leave my job. Always testing them. Your relationship comes into a test. But if you sow seeds into the relationship during the times of trouble, the relationship sticks together. Amen? That was extra. It's not. That was just extra. Just saying. I don't know. I just don't know. When you just don't know, you just have to trust God. You just got to trust God. I don't know how things are going to change, but I just got to trust God. I got to trust God. Amen. Next one. Next one. The earth will bear fruit of herself. Verse 28, the earth beareth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When I read that, it reminded me of something. How does the earth produce if it doesn't have? If it's just the earth, how is it producing if there's no seed in it? You've got to put something in the ground in order for you to get it. Now, I want to talk to you about three different soils. I'm going to take my time if I can. The first soil is the tough soil. It needs to be broken up. Now, in order for you to have tough soil, I don't know if you guys remember, we had one of those plants back here in the back on that table. What was it called? It was a flower. Orchid. Orchid. It was an orchid. Now, I got a green thumb. From where? Mama and my grandmama. I pull a piece of a branch from a tree, and next thing you know, you'll have a tree. Time. She can look. My mama can look at this leaf coming out. This has leaves. Says, that's a tree. It's a leaf. That's a tree. It's a leaf. It's a tree. Pull it up. Pulled it up. Brought it. Put it in a pot. She had to put good soil in it. Began to grow and outgrew the pot. Put it in the ground. Forget about it. It was just a leaf. Kept buying my mom all kinds of planters. Bird feeders. Bird feeders. Came Mama's Day, bird feeder. Came Christmas, bird feeder. What do you buy someone that has everything? Bird feeder. She got to the point, don't buy me no more bird feeders. So I go in the backyard, and I'm like, oh, those bird feeders look nice. That's on that leaf. Big old tree. Big old tree. She got it's bigger than her roof, taller than her roof. No, it's in her backyard. You go on her patio, it's the one that's right adjacent to the house next to her. It grows all the way up. And you'll know it because the bird feeders are on it. I was getting prophetic with it because I knew if I put the bird feeder there, she'd have to put some seed there, and the seeds would begin to multiply. In your hardships, in your toils, know that God has supplied a place for you to receive your seed. And in your seed is the potential that God said that he was going to bring to pass in your life. When he began to speak to you in this very area, he says, I've already given you the avenue for the seed. Because potential is in the seed. Not in the soil. In the seed. Woo! Now, that soil had to be good soil. But if it's a hard soil, you got to break it up. That orchid had hard soil. It didn't have nutrients. I said, no wonder why this thing is dying. It ain't because I'm not taking care of it. The soil's not right. So I had to break up the soil. And I had to put some of that Miracle-Gro. Then I had to put some real soil on there. Now that thing, shoo. Not my fault. It wasn't me. It's got green leaves all around it. It doesn't have the flower yet. You see, you have some soil that's hard. You got to break it up. Many times you go through a season in your life and your soil becomes hard. It's got to be broken up. How does it get broken up? Watering it doesn't soften it up. It just goes straight through. See, if you ever watered plants, and this isn't to teach you how to water your plants, but if you water your plants with a lot of water on top, what it does, it sucks it all down. And it makes the soil hard. It chokes out the seed. So what you have sown into hard soil does not grow. It has to be broken up. The next soil is the dead soil. What is a dead soil? It has no nutrients. No nutrients whatsoever. It has nothing to make you grow. Many times we get put in a situation in the season of our life or the stage of our life. Are you in dead soil or are you in hard soil? The dead soil, you're just sitting there. You're not even growing because there's no nutrients being given to you. If it's the hard soil, it has to be broken up. Here's the other soil, the soggy soil. Too much water. You know that kind of soil? That soil in your heart where all you're doing is crying because things don't change. Become so soggy with all the words that you've spoken negative concerning your circumstance. And you begin to sow negativity into that soil. And it's no longer fruitful for you. And it can't produce the soggy soil. We don't want the soggy soil. No soggy soil. We don't want no dead soil. We don't want no tough soil. We want fertile soil. What is the fertile soil? The fertile soil has all the nutrients that is necessary, right? Now, we're still speaking about the kingdom of God. See, because he's teaching the disciples what is the kingdom of God, and he likens it to this particular scripture. There's stages for the kingdom of God. So if he's telling the disciples that the kingdom of God has stages, well, then we have to understand what those stages are. Go to the next slide, please. Next slide. You are that seed. Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Heirs according to the promise. Do you know that you are Abraham's seed? Yes, you know that you are his seed. You know that anything that you go through is because of the very thing that God has instituted in your life for you to bear. He may have not sent it, but he will use it. You made a decision that you think God didn't know. No, he knew you were going to make it. But maybe you just don't know what the outcome is going to be. But you are. You are the seed. You are the seed that is sown into the kingdom by God. You don't even know how to figure it out. You don't even know what you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God. You don't even know how to figure out what your mandate or your calling is. What am I supposed to do? I have a burden for this, but I just don't know. I want to go and feed the homeless. I just don't know. It's got to be in my time. It's got to be what's conducive for me. Or don't even know the time of the harvest while in the time of waiting for your harvest. That's the hard part, isn't it? When you're waiting, seed, time, and harvest, that time, if we could just take that time away, it'd be seed and harvest, I think the kingdom would be real good, wouldn't it? Sure, with a bunch of spoiled Christians. Just give it to me right away. I want it right now. I want it like Burger King. I'm going to go through the drive-thru. I'm going to get my burger, my gourmet burger, in 5 minutes. And when I order it, pay, and I'm out the way. No. It's processed. It's not real. Good stuff comes to those that wait. You can't rush good stuff. I made some beans in the crock pot. Lord Jesus, they were the bomb. Do we say that no more? Bomb? What's another one? No, they're what? Lit. The beans are lit. These beans were lit, Melissa. They were lit. I don't even know what that means. They were lit. I lit the pilot light to turn on the gas stove, and they were lit. But listen. See, when you get beans, listen. Look at here. Don't make me go and get my white flag now. When you cook beans, you've got to rinse them because they came from the soil. And every now and then you might buy some of these pre-washed beans. You still got to wash them because there's still some soil on it. Because if you don't wash them, you're going to get some dark juice. You may get some grainy juice. You may even get a rock or two in there. Whatever other surprise is in there. But what I've noticed is that every time you get those beans have a layer over it. Beans got a protective layer over it. A protective layer over the beans. Right?
Yes.
And I put them in the crock pot at 8 in the morning. Put those sucker on them. They were lit. You put that, the bacon grease in it. Put a little bit of garlic, salt, and pepper. Chop up some onions. Put that on low. You put that water in there, and you just leave it alone. You just let it alone. After a while, you got to go back and check on it. You got to put some more water on it. Because if you don't put water on it, you're going to dry out those beans. And they're not going to be good. Have you ever bitten into a bean that wasn't cooked all the way through? So if you don't wait for the process, the end result's not going to be good. Time is on your side. Time. That's how come we can't rush good. Good beans. You can't rush good beans. Had to cook them one time. Just boil them the whole time. You can cook them in an hour. Shoot. You know what happens when you do it like that? I'm going to help you out here. You're going to get gas. You'll be all bloated. There were some good beans. I'm bloated because they're so gas. Because that process was rushed. And what it does, it releases all of that gas into the water. But if you slow cook it, don't let me get started on some ribs now. You got to know I'm making your ham. Y'all gonna, I'm going to go get some bean cheese tonight. But listen, you have got to break down the process. Take your time. The end result will be better for you. But it's just like us when since we are the seed of Abraham, we are the seed that God is looking after. Christ is always looking after his seed. He puts us through situations in our life that we just don't even know how we're going to get out of them. But we're the seed, right? Then I started thinking, well, how is it the seed? How does the seed get nutrients? Y'all know? Okay, with the response that I'm getting, no, y'all don't. The ground? The what? The water? What? I give it some? Miracle, what? What? The soil, nutrients? Rain? Oh, lightning? What else? What else? What else? What else? What happened? Ah, but a seed doesn't have a root. So how does a seed sustain itself when it's buried? Now, there's no root for it to take the nutrients from the soil yet. Y'all like, wait, this, see, it's got that covering on it, and that covering becomes then. Die up, break. It eats the covering. And then the roots come. Y'all get so, and then after it eats the covering, and then roots. What I'm telling you is that in every seed, there is protection. And I told you about the beans. It's got a protective covering on it. Remember the disciples when they were walking with Jesus? They were walking along, and it was the Sabbath day, and the disciples grabbed some of the wheat. And what did they do? They rubbed the kernels in their hands. It took off the protective layer. Then they could eat the kernels. Now, you are the seed. You're the seed of Abraham. What is the protective covering over you? What's that? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is covering you. Ooh, you're not going to like this. You're not going to. Just help me now because now we're going to get there. Now we're going to get there. Look at here. If you are covered by the blood, what demon can mess with you? What demon can penetrate you? None. Now, what problem is too difficult for the blood of Jesus? Nothing. Because ain't nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, we have a protective coating over us, and it is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus that protects us and keeps us. They can't touch your children because of the blood. It can't touch your family because of the blood. It can't touch your ministry. Can't touch your church. Can't touch your finances. Can't touch your health. It can't touch nothing because of the blood. That's the protective coating that is on the seed of Abraham. The blood of Jesus that grafted you in is the same blood that protects you. The same blood that is wrapped around you protects you even when you're hidden in the soil. In the toughest time, it is that blood, that covering, that protects you, keeps you safe, lets no more harm come your way, and it makes change. It makes the shift to happen in your life. And that very shift happens because of the blood. We don't understand this shift because we just don't know. When we just don't know, it seems like it is so hard. But it's the very blood that keeps you. When you're in the soil, you have no light coming in. So not even the light is providing for the seed. You have no root system, but you have the covering. You have no root because you have not even grown yet. You're still going through the process of dying. When you go through the hardships that you go through, sometimes you feel like you're left for dead on the side of the road. But ain't nobody can help you because it's the process that you've got to go through. You are the seed. It's too unbearable. Why does it get unbearable? Because in the dying process, you're left to be alone. Like, I can't make it by myself. I just don't know. I just don't know if I can make it to the next shift, the next stage. But I know if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground but yet does not die, it can't produce more seed. See, the process, the kingdom of God, is for you to go what you're going through. So that the dying process, my God, what's inside of you sustains you. In every seed, there's protection. In every seed, there's provision. First, you're going to be protected while you're being planted. Then, while you're being planted, covered over in the soil through the hardships and everything you go through. Maybe the water's not reaching you yet. But even the water, you can't even lap it up because you have no roots yet. In this stage of the kingdom of God, I can't get the life that I need to make it so I can sprout forth my harvest. How do I take the nutrients that I need in this season? You're in the season of being in the soil, but you can't see how you're about to produce your harvest. The seed has a covering, is the blood, yes, but inside the very seed is the provision for that stage of your life. In that stage of your life, what's inside of you is now the thing that's going to sustain you in that season. Man, as it's germinating and it's dying in that process, yes, your outer shell, your hardness, the thing that protected you is now being opened up to allow the very things, the sediments around you, to become good for you. But before, you didn't want to get into the dirt and get dirty. You only wanted to have your harvest. But the sediment and the dirt around you is exactly what is breaking up open that seed. And the first root begins to, does it go up or does it go down? Even in that process, it still goes further down. See, we go through so much in the stages of the kingdom. But we are the seed of Abraham. We're the seed. And in this very parable, it speaks about how the farmer, the man, would wake up every day, didn't even know how he would produce the harvest. Sometimes you just don't know. You don't even know how you're going to make it through or how you're going to see yourself to the other side. Like, if I could just be planted with someone else in this season of my life, they can understand what I'm going through. You got to die to yourself first. Because if not, one root will sniff out the other root and kill it. We've got to go through what we go through in this season. The soil of the kingdom of God sometimes is too lonely. It's too lonely. But in the seed, it has the protection. It also has the provision. What if you, the seed, could speak in the season of being in the soil? I feel like I'm alone. I feel like no one can hear me. I don't feel like God can reach me. I don't even feel like God even understands. Every time I want to reach out for someone, I can't reach because there's nobody around. I feel like I'm isolated. The seed speaks in this hour. You are the seed. What are you speaking? What are you sowing in that stage of your life? The seed. You are the seed of Abraham. Before you begin to sprout forth above the soil, you still got to go low. You still got to go further. Don't know how, but when the seed begins to speak, what is coming out of the seed? The very potential is being released. You have protection, you have provision, and you have potential in your seed. If the seed could speak, what would the seed say? What is my harvest going to look like? When is this season going to be over? Am I in the right soil? Is the seed speaking that my pain is causing my soil to be soggy around me? Because all I do is weep. Or is it making the soil around me acidic because all I do is complain? All I can do is just trust. We can't see what's inside the seed because it's covered. We can't see what's inside. But the enemy knows that there's something because he sees the covering. You're covered by the blood. And he sees it. He can't come and attack you. He just messes with your mind so that you attack you. You begin to speak against your own destiny. You begin to speak against your own potential. And you make the very soil acidic. If the seed could speak. We are that seed. You are covered, just like in Exodus 2:3. You are covered just like Moses was covered. Baby Moses was put into an ark made of papyrus reeds and then covered with tar and pitch in place in the River Nile. See, that very covering is the same thing that covered Moses for the purpose of Moses to get into Egypt. Your destiny and your journey are covered. It just didn't tell you how you were going to get there. Didn't tell you when you were going to get there. But I read every time in Scripture, when seed was placed, it was difficult times. It was to produce more seeds inside of you. Moses was that inside the very ark. You're covered. Your marriage is covered. Your health is covered. We are covered with the blood. The provisions are there until the very roots begin to grow in the stage. And in this stage, John 12:24 says that unless you yourself fall, kernel falls to the ground and dies. Well, what does that speak of in the kingdom of God? It speaks that we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to the very thing that produces the wrong kind of seed. We have to die to our selfish ambitions and be more ambitious about the things of God. It's very easy for us to quit, to walk away from things that are hard. But God is looking for those that will finish the race, finish their course, He wants to get us to that very place called destiny. Matthew 16:21, Jesus was put to death and he spoke of it. That I will suffer much at the hands of those that persecute me. I will die and they will put me in a grave, but in 3 days I will rise again. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of the very thing that he's telling them at the very beginning of this parable, is that I am the seed that was sent here on earth. I was sent here to die. Not only to die, but I was sent in to be buried into a tomb. Not for the long period, but for a short time. And in that short time, I produced my seeds, my harvest. So when I went down to hell, death, and the grave, I came up with the seeds. What did he do with the seeds? He gave them to us. What was that? He gave us the keys to the kingdom. He gave us that very thing that protected him. What protected Jesus before he went into the ground? The Holy Spirit. When he came up out of the water, the baptism of the River Jordan, what ascended upon him? The dove, the Holy Spirit. It covered him. What was done next? He was tested and tempted. What was that? The dying process of self. And then he went on in his journey to begin to release more of himself. So that when he was put into the very ground, that's why his harvest was in 3 days. Resurrected. Why? Because throughout his time of his dying process, he was releasing and giving, releasing and giving. What was he showing the disciples? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was releasing the kingdom every step of the way. So on the third day when he rose to give us the very keys to the kingdom. So that those that believe shall be saved. In Genesis 8:22 is where we get the seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. We have to understand that it's part of the stage is to wait. Part of that is to wait on the Lord. Nobody likes to wait anymore. Everybody wants things fast. We want faster internet, faster electronics. We want things to be at our fingertips when we want it, and we don't want to wait. But we want the quality to be the same. Psalms 121 reads this way, I will lift up mine eyes into the mountains from whence shall my help come? My help cometh from Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. For Jehovah is thy keeper. Jehovah is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah will keep thee from all evil. He will keep thy soul. Jehovah will keep thy going out and thy coming in. From this time forth and forevermore. What is this speaking of? He says that in the time that you are to wait upon the Lord, you are to rest in him. Resting in the Lord, you will begin to see the very thing that he said. Because even the farmer that sowed the seeds, he slept. He slept. And when he slept, he woke. And when he woke, his harvest was there. Didn't know how, didn't understand it, but was there. What is Jesus saying? It is time for us to learn to rest in him. Rest in the very thing that even when we don't understand. Jesus was telling the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side, and a storm was raging against them. But where was the seed? The seed was in the boat underneath. Underneath. What was the seed doing? Sleeping. We don't know how to wait. We don't know how to wait upon the Lord. We think we're going to miss it. We think that if we don't get to where we need to be, we're going to miss it. But I just read to you in Psalms 121 that God doesn't slumber or sleep. He watches after you. He watches after the seed. So that if you know that he doesn't sleep or slumber, all you've got to do is sleep and rest. Reminds me of when Jesus was going on the way to Jairus' daughter. She died. She died. And when they said, don't even bother coming, tell him don't even bother coming, for she died. See, they didn't know how to wait for him to get there. They thought that the outcome that they saw was the outcome that was predestined for them. But not knowing that God had a setup in mind. When I show up late on your timing, it's for me to be right on time. Because what did he say to them? She's not dead. She's only asleep. What about Lazarus? Wait a minute, let's back up a bit before we even get to Lazarus. Let's talk about how when Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house, someone comes in and disrupts his plan and holds him for a minute because she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Touches the hem of his garment, but yet detained him from getting to the place where he needed to be and held him there. Can you imagine Jairus' parents? Where is this Jesus? We know him to be a healer. And that's what Jesus was pointing out. You know that I'm a healer, but I'm about to show you that I am the resurrection and I am the life. You wouldn't have known it if I would have been on your timing. But in my timing, you don't see everything I'm about to do. You don't understand what I'm going to do. But when I show up on the scene, you will see a different character of me, a different position in which I hold in your life. You know me as your provider. Know me as the one that will redeem you and raise you up again. We go through what we go through. All we can say is, I just don't know. Then his friend Lazarus is sick. He dies. And then Jesus doesn't even hurry there. He goes a different way. Different way. See, the timing where we feel like God is not coming to our rescue in our timing. Our timing, our calendar, the way we want it to be. This is how you have to show up, God. You need to do it this way. You've got to show up just in time so that you can not let him die. But in this, he says, I have to be on my timing so that I can show you something that the seed of your faith must do. What did he tell them to do? He didn't move the stone. He told them to move the stone. Roll that stone away. What is the seed of your faith going to do? Roll the thing away that was keeping you from that resurrection, keeping you from the very point of his spirit and the miracle that you're in need of. It is in that timing and that waiting, the seed, the time, and the harvest. It is in that timing section of our life that we can say, I just don't know. What do you do? Scripture says, sleep. Sleep. If you know that God isn't going to sleep, sleep. Because he's watching and see. He's already put the protection over you, the blood. He's already put the provision, the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the potential's been there all along. See, time and harvest. How many of you want to know God in a different character? You've known him to come through. He's been on time. Right on time. He ain't never late. On his timing. Your timing? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just don't know. I just don't know. How is this going to turn around? Just don't know. Where am I at? I just don't know. How you getting out? Just don't know. How are you going to make things change? Just don't know. See, this will rock a lot of theologians right now, a lot of these religious folks. Jesus is going to get you out of that circumstance. Jesus is going to get you all the way through. Yeah, but he didn't say when. He didn't say how. It's easy to speak to somebody else in the situation that you're not in. You go through it. And then I ask you, how's that going to change? Your response will be, I just don't know. Then when it happens, and then when it comes to manifestation, there's the harvest. And guess what happens to the harvest? You take the sickle and you cut it off. Harvest. No. Your harvest is for you right now. Right now. We've already gone through the process. Many of us have been waiting a long time. You've had Jesus, we're going to have a behind the shed, behind the barn kind of talk. Jesus, we're going to have a come to the carpet meeting. Jesus, we're going to have just a throwdown. Jesus, make conference call with you. Because the process is just too long. He's talking about a farmer that says, I just don't know. Farmer should know. That's what he was speaking of. He said, the kingdom of heaven, sow, and you will reap in his timing. That's why the farmer didn't know. If I put the seed in the ground, I know when it's going to grow. I know how many times I got to water it. I don't know how many times I got to till around it. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, just put it in the ground. Sleep, wake up. If it ain't there, go back to sleep. Wake up. If it ain't there, just go back to sleep. But the next thing you know, when you turn around, the harvest is there. Get the sickle. Cut it. Because you've already shifted. And you shifted because you came out. You made it because you kept getting the roots deeper and deeper. That you sprung forth the blade through the soil. The very thing that kept you down is what's raising you up. The very thing that kept you hidden is getting ready to expose you. The very thing that had you in a tight place is getting ready for you to be in abundance. I'm trying to tell you something. We are the seed of Abraham. He's going to keep you. Do you believe it? He's going to keep you. Close your Bibles if you would. Your notes. Let me cut that off. I just don't know. I just don't know. But God knows. God knows. When will the circumstance turn around? When will it change? His timing. His timing. I pray that this encourages you and lets you know that your seed and everything that you have done, your faith, your prayers, everything that you have done has not been in vain. Has not been in vain. You may sow in tears, but you're about to reap in joy. For your harvest has come. The harvest has come. Trust and believe. He knows where your heart is right now. He knows where your faith is. He also knows where your hope is at. He knows what type of soil your heart is. Trust him that he's going to see you all the way through. Elder, go ahead and pass out the envelopes for tithes and offering. As you prepare your tithes and offering, on that envelope, I just want you to write, it's my time. It's my time. It's my time. It's my time. Is it your time, Josh? Way overdue. It's your time. We're way overdue. Faithful with the little. But it's our time. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you right now that we just trust and believe in your word, God. That the kingdom of heaven is just as that. We just don't know how the harvest just shows up. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we are the seed of Abraham because we are of you, Christ. We know that because you don't sleep or slumber, you're watching over us now. Regardless of our season, the stage that we're in, you're watching over us. And we thank you for it. Lord, I just thank you that as you speak through the seed, let the seed speak and give praise to the one that caused it to grow. For in the seed, you already given us the protection, the provision, and the purpose. So we thank you for it. It's our time. It's our time. What has bound us and what has kept us, Lord, let it be the very thing that is going to make us rise, grow, and produce. So Lord, we thank you for it now. Release a blessing over the very lives of the people here and those that are connected in their extended family, their businesses, Lord, their finances, their health, Lord, their children, their grandchildren, to all their extended family from generation to generation, Lord. Release the blessing on their life, Father God. I thank you that you watch them, Father, and you protect them and you keep them. You provide for them, but Lord, show a different dimension of who you are to them. Lord, we want more of you. More of you, God. Not more of religion. Not more of activities to do in the church. Not more of activities to do outside the church. We want more of you. Lord, we just thank you, God, that we will do as the scripture says. We'll lift up our heads, look unto the hills from where our help comes from, and we shall see the salvation of the Lord. We thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you're about to do. We thank you for the stage that we're in. Now shift us out, Father God, in your timing to produce that very harvest. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. Before you leave, sow your seed tonight. Be encouraged. He's watching you. He's got you. He's holding you. He's keeping you. Amen. Anybody in here has something they need to share before we leave? Any prophetic utterance, word, vision, anything? 1, 2, 3. Hold it. Amen. You could cut the recording.